Hello and welcome to the first episode of the official Yum Princess podcast. I was considering naming it the Yumverse podcast, but I don't know if someone already has a podcast named that. I'm gonna have to look into it. But regardless, hello. This is a podcast where I, Yum, will give you an exclusive behind the scenes look at all of the things Yumverse, including but not limited to ongoing projects, characters, lore, merch, music, VTubing, and creative advice. Who is this podcast for? So on one hand, it's for people that just love my work and are invested in the universe and the characters that I'm building and who want more of that, who are like hungry to know more about what goes into this, essentially this world, this universe that I'm making. Also, artists and creatives who want to know what goes into actually being a full-time independent content creator. And how do I do all of this? You know, how do I run this as a business for now, you know, going on 5 years and not burning out? And what do I look for in scripts and stuff like that? So I will also have episodes that are kind of dedicated to those specific people. And then lastly, for people who just want something to listen to when they're driving home or having a snack, just want some nice background noise. Or maybe people who can never make it to my streams. I stream on my server, but time zones are crazy. Also, I think a ton of you don't even go on the server because probably you believe that the server is this like intense degenerate place, but it's actually not. So I'm just throwing that out there as well. But I have streams every single week and I talk about stuff like this and people are always so fascinated and interested in it. And I figured it's probably not just the people on the server that would be interested, but because that's only, you know, a very small portion of everybody who listens to my work, I thought, okay, maybe we can put it in a podcast format so you can listen to it whenever and you don't have to make it to a stream. I am planning to have a Q&A section at the end of each podcast where I will be going through Q&As that you submit the month prior to each episode. Now, some months, the questions you ask may actually result in a full episode if it's going to take that much. Today's episode is based on a question that somebody asked on the server in my Ask Yum channel. And I thought, oh, this is a big topic. This is a topic that I want to cover in a podcast episode. So you actually can influence where the show goes based on the types of questions that you're submitting, which again will happen on a monthly basis. I will try to get to as many as I can. I can't promise to get to every question, but I'll do my best. Just a reminder, keep your questions not super personal. Don't ask things about like my personal life or, you know, I'm very private and I ask you to please respect that. So with all of that said, what are we going to talk about today? So let me pull up the question. Oh, I should have had this ready in advance. I'm not a professional. Okay, so the question is, when you make new characters, how do you come up with their personalities and themes? Do you make them based on what you notice us burbs like, or is it something that you think will be fun? This is a fun question, and this is what I want to focus on today. So The reason that I created characters is I feel like sometimes when you're doing something for a long time, like again, I've been doing this for 5 years, it can be easy to try to do what other people want you to do forever. Because when you're relying on something to pay your bills, it's very easy to be like, well, I should just do whatever everyone wants me to do. And that way, no one will leave, right? That's sort of this idea. And it's the idea that a lot of businesses are run on, which is like, I have to do what the audience wants all the time, or else I won't have an audience. And for me, I had gotten to a place in my career where I was like, I want to try different stuff. Like part of the reason that I've never had like a proper burnout is because I've always tried different things. And so when I started to create these specific characters, I'm going to be totally honest. They were not at all influenced by what people wanted me to do. Honestly, if I had been doing what people wanted me to do, I wouldn't have made the characters the way that I made them. For example, Eden is not likable. Like, she's just not. Like, she's not a likable character. And even though her voice is so nice, it's so breathy and airy and soft, and it's like a siren song, she's just not nice. And people don't like that at all. My YouTube comments are people being very mad that she is not nice. And, you know, she's a character. That's kind of the point. I don't know that I'm going to say that she's 100% evil. I don't know that that's where her character arc is going to go entirely. But I didn't create Eden based on me. And that kind of goes back to, why did I create these characters? Everybody, to a certain extent, is a dynamic person, right? You're not one thing all the time. And for me, Elle is based on me and my heart and my soul. Elle is the name that I've gone by all these years. Elle is weird and quirky and like over the top. And she is based on me when I feel safe and I feel like I can be my full neurodivergent weird self and I don't feel judged by anybody and I can tap into that. The reason it took me a long time to kind of make Elle the character that you know her as now is because I was scared, because she's weird. Like, I mean, I usually use like the term adorkable to describe her, because she's the kind of person who is not fully aware of how weird she is. And she kind of thinks like you're just going to get it, but you might not. And she doesn't have like a full awareness of her own weirdness, which I feel has been an experience that is very much true for me. And so it took me, if you can like see the moment where in my audios, things started to shift, because I started to stream. And when I started to stream, I couldn't act sexy all the time. I couldn't do it. And people really wanted me to. And I got a lot of pushback from people being like, why are you so weird? Like, why are you acting so weird? You're weird, blah, 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 blah. Just be sexy. Like, this was a very common occurrence. And it really stressed me out. It's part of why I stopped streaming, because I got stressed by it. That's just the truth. I think a lot of streamers will be like, I don't give a fuck. No, I do. I give a fuck. I'm trying to give less of a fuck, but I'd be lying if I said I didn't care. Now, with that said, I realized that I could not continue to make the work that I was making and to cultivate a closer relationship with my audience in terms of like streaming and talking if I didn't let more of my personality out. So I made it a choice, and I did it in the form of creating Elle as a character, so that way I could feel a bit safer, I guess. Like, I could feel, it felt like a safe way to express a real part of myself that I felt nervous to express otherwise. And so that was when Elle, and now I play Elle up, right? Like, she's me like times a thousand. Like, certain things about her are very much me all the time, and then like other things about her are super over the top. But it gave me confidence to allow myself to be more of myself. Now, when it comes to Blair, so first of all, Blair is the closest to the way that I've been for the majority of my life. And when I say that, what I mean is Blair, if Elle is like a raw, open, sweet, fun-loving, just wants love and like is just a kind, caring person, Blair understands that the world doesn't really allow that to be a thing. Blair understands the reality of the world. Where Elle is in her whimsical dream state, Blair is in reality and knows what's going on. And she doesn't really allow herself to go to those silly, weird places that Elle does. And so if you listen to a lot of my earlier stuff, you can see like the merge of Elle and Blair in my stuff. I wasn't fully comfortable inhabiting either one of those sides of myself. So they were sort of just mushed into one, which is how you end up with something like aggressive F sub, right? Because it's like kind of dommy, but also kind of subby. Now, I was not into femdom stuff at all. And one thing that I think has given me longevity throughout my career is that I don't do things just because people want me to do them, even though I know that it would make me money. So people have been asking me to do femdom content literally since my very first audio back in 2021. Because I have a raspier, sultrier, like the tone of my voice is very much suited toward dominant content. But I didn't care. I was like, all right, well, fuck off. I was like, I'm not doing it if I don't want to do it. And so I didn't. And I had like, probably I could count on one hand the number of dominant audios that I had, because I just didn't want to, you know? So I had recently at the time, you know, when I launched Blair, which I believe was last year, I had been dominant curious, I guess is the best way to say it. Like, I don't know. I felt that there was this part of myself that I wanted to explore, but I wasn't quite sure how. And when I created Blair, I actually never intended for Blair to be part of like the Yum universe. I actually, my genuine plan for Blair was to run it entirely separately and not tell anyone that it was me. I knew that people would obviously recognize my voice, but it was meant to be one of those things where it was just a creative side project and not like part of what I'm doing. Unfortunately, when I posted Blair's first audio, I didn't tell any of the burbs, no one knew. I posted it on Gone Wild Audio on Reddit, which is where I started as a creator back in 2021. It did really well, which was also very validating because it was like I didn't lean on my audience to get good numbers. It just performed well because it was good. And I was like, oh, that is so nice. It was so validating for me. But then the mods of GWA decided they made a new rule specifically for me to say you can't have an alt account. It was just like, it was, I can't even like get into it because it was so stupid. But so then I had to out myself publicly as Blair. They forced me to. They were like, you have to write that it's you. So then I did write that it was me. And then they were like, actually, you can't have an alt account at all. And then they just banned Blair from GWA. And I was like, okay. So my plan didn't work. Now everyone knows it's me. And so I didn't really know what to do at that point. So the reason that I explain all of this is that I think it's important context to understand that Blair was created solely as a side project for me to explore another part of myself. Blair was not like a strategic move. Blair was genuinely like the plan for Blair audios too is that I wasn't even having them edited by my editor. Like, I edited the first Blair audio. I recorded it on my shitty mic. Like, I was purposely not, because the other part of this too is that under Yum Princess, like, you guys expect a certain level of editing quality, a certain level of voice quality. I didn't want to have to commit to that for Blair. I wanted it to just be like my side project where it could be maybe not the level of quality that you expect from Yum stuff. But once the cat was out of the bag and everyone knew, I was like, all right, well, I guess Blair is just part of this now. Like, I guess Blair is just, you know, everyone's going to know. And so I changed around my plan, and I was scared at that time because, again, I wasn't planning on posting Blair content. I wasn't planning on making the Yumverse a thing. And I realized that I was really starting to enjoy it. And I was mad that I wasn't able to do it as a separate project, but The best feeling when you're making something is when you really love it and then other people also really love it. A lot of the time as artists, you make something and you love it, but then no one else does, or you hate it and then everyone loves it. And so when something happens where you love it and other people love it, it's like, oh yes, okay. It's just such a good feeling. And it's that feeling that has driven me throughout my entire career, literally. I've never felt like I had to do anything that I didn't want to do at all. And so it's really funny because, like, I was so scared to explore these parts of myself that I just made a character. And I didn't even like Blair at first because I was, like, intimidated by her. I was like, well, what if everyone likes her more than Elle, who is, like, my true heart and soul? And I was stressed about it. It was like, I'm my own biggest op, for real. But I was nervous to bring her out and, like, to see the love for her. Now I don't feel like that. Now I'm like, if you could have anyone as your favorite, and I'm happy about it. But I definitely was intimidated by Blair because Blair is a part of myself that I just haven't explored as much as I have with Elle, especially in a dominant context, where I'll do like an LF dom like here and there, but it's like the gentlest, most sweetest, like mommiest energy when it's Elle, where Blair has like a spice. Like Blair is like, says exactly what she wants and does not care. Like she is not concerned with whether or not it's what you want. I mean, she is, but she just has such a strong will about her, I think. Where Elle is just, like, wants to love you and take care of you and, like, do anything that you need. And I feel like that comes through. Now, I'm going to talk more about their characters, like, each character in future episodes. I'll probably devote an episode per character to kind of give you what I believe to be you know, unstated things about them, about their backgrounds, just about who they are. But just for like a high level here, the thing with these characters and the difference between Elle and Blair and Eden is that Eden was the first character I made that wasn't at all rooted in an exploration of myself. I wanted to make a character that was so magnetic in both her looks and her voice, but was just not a good person. And I knew that people would be mad. I knew it, and I was stressed about it. But it was, again, it was one of those situations where it was like, am I going to do what I know everyone wants me to do, but then I'm not going to be happy and I'm going to burn out? Or am I going to just do this anyway because I want to do it? And yeah, if some people get mad, then all right, you know. And I don't have any regrets about Eden and the way that I've made her and her vibes. She's exactly what I want her to be. I think she's such a fun and in some ways, not what you would really expect. Like she is to a certain extent, right? Because mean, blonde, hot, popular girl, of course. But she's my most insecure character of all of them. She's the one who is most likely to go full yandere. She's the least emotionally mature, even less mature than Elle. Like, she cares so much about what you think of her. She cares so much that it's almost like stifling to her. And I find that imperfection about her to be really fun, something fun to play with. Also, Eden is perfect for a mind break scenario. It's like with Elle, yeah, I still do like mind break adjacent stuff with Elle, but she's just, you don't really need to mind break her because she doesn't really have a mind anyway. like she's ready to be submissive, you know, like she's not really going to give you like a fight. Where Eden is, believes that she is, or whether or not she really believes it, but she needs to believe that you believe that she's the queen bee. And she's not going to be willing to be submissive unless you've essentially earned it or literally taken it from her. And I think that's fun because I didn't really have a character before that I wanted to put in like very compromising situations. Like I do with Eden. Like I just enjoy, I say on my streams all the time, I just enjoy destroying Eden. I just have so much fun with it. And in terms of who Eden is based on people that I don't like in a lot of ways. She's based on mean girls that I went to school with when I was younger who were just mean, and they were just like rich. Like I did not come from money at all. I could not relate to the types of people that they were, who just seemed to have everything handed to them, who just seemed to be perfect. And as a character, what's fun for me to explore is like, well, no one's actually perfect. And so what does she look like below the surface? And I think what's going to be fun for Eden is that I plan to develop her. I don't plan for her to be the way that she is right now forever, just like with any of my characters. And also, I think about my characters kind of in terms of like a multiverse where there's different versions of them. For example, my newest character, which will already be out by the time this comes out, is Elf, E-L-L-F-E. I don't know if it should be Elf or Elfie. Maybe Elfie is more fun. But anyway, she's a multiverse version of Elle, where she's Elle, but she's Elle. She's a short stack. She's got the biggest honkers of any of my characters. And she's a healer, and she's a bard, and she's out, and she's out in the woods, and she's healing people with the power of her big boobs. I'm like, not even joking. And she's just the sweetest little cupcake. Like, she's just a tiny, cute cupcake who just wants to love you. And so, yeah, she's not Elle, but, like, she's a version of Elle. The same goes for when I have MILF versions of my characters. That's just another version of them in a different but parallel universe. I think that's what that means. I don't know if I said that correctly. Anyway, and so I find that to be fun, too. And so there's definitely versions of Eden that I've not explored yet. Like MILFy Eden is going to be a thing. I have the design for it done already, but I haven't decided exactly how her voice is going to be and how I'm going to play out those scenarios yet. But yeah, so it's a very long way of saying that I don't make characters based on what I think people want me to do. I make characters based on what I feel like I need to do to keep growing and being the best that I can be as a creator. Now, I want to be clear, because I'm sure there's at least one person listening to this who's like, yeah, but your stuff performs well, so obviously you're taking into account how to market things. And that's 100% correct. Have you ever seen a trailer for a movie and it looked really good and you got really hyped up, and then you watched the movie and you were like, this fucking sucks? I'm sure you have. This comes to mind for me with a lot of horror movies. Some of you probably know I'm a huge fan of horror movies. They'll use marketing that says something like the scariest film of the year. And when you say something like that, you set things up where the expectations are like never going to be met, you know? And so for me, I want to be careful that the way that I am communicating, like, and when I say marketing, I mostly mean the titles of my stuff. I want to make sure that I'm accurately portraying what actually happens, so that when people get there and click on it, they actually like it. But there's no technically correct way to explain what actually happens. The title that I come up with for something could be entirely different than the title that someone else comes up with for something. And so I will say, while my ideas are entirely what I want them to be, the way that I communicate what happens in the title may vary based on what I know people want to listen to, but it doesn't change the actual content. It only changes the way that I'm communicating it to people. So I always want to like make that distinction, because I think it's really easy to get hung up on, if you're somebody who's making stuff, it's really easy to get hung up on like, well, if I don't make this exact thing that everyone's asking me to make, then they're not going to like me anymore. And honestly, I really think that that's a surefire way to burnout. I think that's really, it's an almost a guarantee that it will cause burnout. But what you do have to know how to do is communicate your ideas in a way that resonates with people. And that's a different skill set than actually making the art itself. So I kind of wanted to like let you peek behind the curtain in that way too, where you'll notice that I have these really attention-grabbing, over-the-top titles, but they're never inaccurate. They always do tell you actually what's going to happen. And I spend so much time on my fucking titles. Like, honestly, I sometimes spend as much time on them as I do coming up with the actual scripts. So it's incredibly important that you're communicating what is actually going on. Oh God, I just went on a huge tangent. Wait. Okay. Tangent over. So to answer the question thoroughly, no, I don't make things based on what I think that people want to hear. I make them based on what I believe I have to do to keep doing what I'm doing and doing it well in a way that forces me to push myself creatively. And that's the most important thing to me, because ultimately, one of the biggest things that people always say to me about my work is they could tell that I love it. They could tell that I really am into it, that I'm really locked in. And I don't believe that's, I don't think that you can fake that. I think it's really, really difficult to fake something like that. And so I've had to figure out how to continue to keep that spark alive, keep that thing alive that got me to where I am right now. And the way that I've done that is by constantly evolving and changing and trying new things and pushing myself. I'll also add that for the past year-ish, I've been taking acting lessons. I've gone from being somebody who happens to voice act because my voice sounds nice to someone who actually is putting in time every single week to practice and get better at voice acting. And I didn't have any acting experience before making audios ever. So it was definitely something that I felt was important. If I was going to keep making characters, especially, I needed to know how to act the characters on a consistent basis and in different types of environments. So that was also part of it. I talked a lot about Eden with my acting teacher because I wanted help kind of developing her voice and figuring out what she would sound like. And that was a really, really fun activity. My acting teacher is the GOAT, by the way. Now, taking this topic even a step further into how do you stay true to yourself when you have the pressure of like, well, this is my job now. So for those who don't know, I started making audios in 2021 on a whim, recorded on my phone with zero intention to monetize at all. I was about to enter grad school. I also had a job. There was zero chance that I thought this was going to turn into anything. And because of that, I went into this completely like, I don't care. Like, if people like it, cool. If they don't, all right, whatever. But, you know, I'm just going to make an alt account online and say sexy stuff into a mic, not even a mic, into my phone. And I'm just going to see where it goes. And, you know, fuck it. And that was literally how this all started, was my very first audio that I ever posted performed very, very well. And people were like, can I pay you to make custom audios for me? And I was like, well, I'm about to enter grad school and I'm already broke. So yeah. And that's what I would do. I made all of my money on commissions. I was doing like 20 commissions a week, literally. And when I did those commissions, that was when I learned that, and this is why even to this day, I actually don't offer commissions outside of ones where I like the idea and I'm like into it and I have creative freedom. Because what I realized was constantly doing exactly what someone else wants you to do and not what you want to do when it comes to making art feels really exhausting. Like, granted, 20 commissions a week is excessive, and it was excessive of me to be doing that, but I wanted to be able to keep making audios, and I wanted to be able to like not keep doing my other job so I could spend more time doing this. So I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna do it. And that's how I supported myself. I didn't immediately have a successful Patreon at all. And so after I had kind of made this choice that I'd support myself with commissions, I was taking on all the different types of commissions. Commissions about things, I mean, nothing like crazy, but more just oddly specific. There's at least one of you out there that's like, yep, that's me. I have a very oddly specific kink. And so you get it. And I appreciated the thing about my commissions too, is that I would give them 110%. I would be like asking, I developed a whole questionnaire to make sure people would like it. Like, it was so over the top. It was so over the top because I just wanted it to be exactly what they wanted it to be. And it made me so tired. It drained like the life from me because I was just constantly doing what other people wanted me to do. So I stopped when I could, when I had enough patrons, I stopped. And it was an important lesson for me because while I don't mind, like when I do them now, I'll do like a little, I do like custom voice messages on like my Fansly or, you know, little mini commissions that I open up on there every, I don't know, twice a year maybe. But those are like within the realm of what's comfortable for me because they're short, they're quick, and it's like, it's something that I want to do. It's not something that I feel like I have to do. But if I was having to rely on solely doing things that other people wanted me to do, I wouldn't still be able to do this. Like, it's just not possible. I would be so freaking burnt out. So let's talk now about the designs of the characters without obviously giving away too much information. Here's what I'll say. All of my characters, including Eden, even though personality-wise, I don't relate to her at all, all of them visually are based on me in different ways. I'm not going to elaborate on that, but there are certain things you'll see that are consistent between designs. That's typically because it feels easier for me to embody characters that I feel have like some kind of like similar physicality to me on some level. So for Blair, let's talk about Blair first. For Blair, she's not quite a tomboy, but she's definitely not like as feminine as Elle. Elle is like, again, a little cupcake. Like, she is like a sprinkle covered cookie. She's just so sweet. And that's the most similar to me visually. Everything's purple. We love a sparkle, like hyper feminine princess energy. For better or worse, that's just what I'm like, and I can't help it. So my design for Elle is very girly. And the dino onesie, I felt was like even more true to me because I'm a cozy princess. Like, I used to not understand what people meant when they said that they were like a cozy content creator, but I'm a cozy creator. I'm pretty sure that I'd fall into that category. And so with the dino onesie, I felt like that actually fits like my vibes, which is like cozy but cute. With Blair still has the cozy vibes because, again, Blair is based on me. Blair's original outfit, here's a piece of trivia. Blair's original outfit was actually the result of, this is so convoluted, but so her skirt, she had a skirt and she had a shirt on, and she was almost like a mirror of Elle. It was because I was using my VTuber model at the time, figuring out how I could customize it in a way that I could turn into a design. So I recolored the whole model and tried to basically create an additional character through my VTuber model. And so that's what her design is based on. I had a skirt because I was going to have a nurse outfit. So it's actually a skirt from a nurse outfit that I never ended up even adding to the model. A shirt that was from like a MILF outfit that I never added. Like everything about it was sort of pulled from other places. When I made Blair's more recent design, I thought like Blair, she's not a girl failure. And really none of my characters are, because I just can't relate to that at all. Like that's, I just don't, I can't. Maybe Elle's a girl failure in the sense that, I feel like a girl failure means you're like kind of stinky. I don't know. I actually don't know. Okay, I'm not sure. But Elle would be the only one who was even semi close to being a girl failure, but like I still don't really think it applies to her. But Blair is not that at all. Blair like knows that she is really and truly that bitch. And so when I was designing her character, I combined, so for Blair for me has black cat energy, and I feel like you either get what I mean by that or you don't, but she has, Blair strikes me as the kind of person that could rob a bank and then make everyone say thank you for her doing that. And you know how like when you have a cat and they just knock your shit over all the time, but you're like, thank you. You're like, yes, I worship you. At least that's how I was when I had a cat. It's like cats have this energy of like power and they know that they can get away with stuff. Where like dog and puppy energy, which is much more like Elle, is just like, I just want to love you. Like, you know, I just want to cuddle. But Blair has a black cat, like darkness and mystique to her. So that was why I gave her that little hat. It's like a cute little beanie hat. And the beanie hat, because she's like a little bit, again, slightly tomboy-ish. But she has those cute little cat ears that have those little piercings on it. And I just felt like, yeah, that's what Blair would have. Like, that's what she would wear. And additionally, when she puts her hood up in her hoodie, she has those cute little cat ears as well, which I thought was really cute. The colors for Blair, again, were based on how I customized the model. Like, Blair is the one character that was built entirely based on what I was able to do within the confines of my VTuber model. So that's honestly, that's why she's the colors that she is. Granted, I love those colors now and I wouldn't change them. And I think that they turned out really good, but that was why, you know, she's red and brown essentially, because it was like, I could actually make it work. And that's what a lot of doing this sort of stuff is like, I constantly see people saying, I see this all the time, is people being like, well, I can't afford to, you know, get a character design, or I can't afford to. And it's like, just fucking get creative, especially now with how many VTuber models are out there that you can customize. It's like, just make it up, you know, like if you only have one thing, then just use that one thing as many times as you can. And it doesn't matter, because nothing that I did well was a result of like being able to throw tons of money at it. It was always a result of being very creative with having limited resources. Now, you know, I spend a lot of money on art. It's like all my money, I'm not gonna lie, but it wasn't always like that. It was not always like that because I couldn't afford it. You know, I would use the same art for like every audio, but I digress. Also with Blair, I wanted her to have sort of a grungy kind of look. Like, Blair could just as easily be like in a boardroom C-suite as a CEO as she could be at like a dive bar. Like, she just has this darkness and this aura to her. She aura farms constantly. Like, her existence is an aura farm. Even talking about her, I'm like getting annoyed because I'm like, I want to be her. I think everyone wants to be her on some level. She's just so unbothered. And that's also why I wanted her outfit to be a cozy outfit, because Blair doesn't feel like she has anything to prove to anybody. Like, she does not give a fuck. Whether she's in the coziest outfit or, you know, a latex dress, she's just that bitch regardless. It wouldn't matter. But I think that putting her in something cozy makes her more disarming. And so I wanted to communicate through her design that she's casual and not pressed about looking perfect. where you can see that's very different than Eden, right? Like Eden's outfit is like perfect. Every element of it is like symmetrical and pink and tidy, and there's nothing that feels even remotely out of place. Like it's very different because she's a very different character. And so when I create these designs, I think I'll probably actually post, maybe I'll post the pictures of like the mood boards that I created just so you can see like how I do it. But I've worked with the same designer for years at this point. She's amazing and I love her. And I sent her these big mood boards, and I have all of this information about how I want them to look. And for those of you that play like D&D, you probably have some experience in character creation, but the primary difference is that I have to be able to embody these characters like constantly and professionally. So a lot of time, I almost think that if I played a D&D game, I would just create something that's so out there because I don't have to be in it all the time. You know, it's only during the game. I have to play D&D. I still haven't played. Oh, I want to play so bad, but I don't have time. Anyway, okay. For Eden's design, I wanted to make her look like a bimbo. So when I originally unveiled her design, everyone was like, oh my God, a bimbo in the Yumverse. And let's make one thing clear, okay? The bimbo is L. L is the bimbo at large, all right? For Eden, I wanted Eden to embody perfection, and I didn't want that to only be her looks. I wanted her to be an overachiever on all levels. There's always a joke that I'm always like, Eden needs to get a job, but the thing is that Eden's not lazy. Like, Eden has good grades. Eden does well in school. Eden overachieved at everything because she's so insecure. She's like dying for you to like her, even though she pretends she doesn't feel like that. And so when I created her, I wanted to make it so that her looks would be deceiving, so that you would see her and go, oh, she just kind of looks like a hot blonde Jiaru, popular girl, and assume that there's really nothing beyond that. And then adding in this element where she's actually, she cares so much and she's going so all out to make you like her. Typically, she's doing so not in great ways, but she's doing her best. I wanted to make sure that you were kind of put in a position where you couldn't immediately understand the kind of character that she was. Some people did guess. Some people were like, oh, she seems bratty. Yeah, I would definitely call her bratty. I would call her bratty. But I don't think that that's all that there is. I think that there's more to her that we just like haven't seen yet. I also just finished her MILF design, which I don't know if it'll be out by the time I put this out, so I don't want to spoil it yet, but I'll talk about that as well, how I came up with that in another episode. But for that, it was like I had to make her, you know, I had to make her more mature and, you know, what does she look like as a grown-ass older woman? And I had so much fun with that, and my designer absolutely cooked. Now, before we wrap up this episode, I do want to say that I have additional new characters. They are not coming out quite yet. I developed them as part of a larger series that I'm working on. It's like the biggest series I've ever made. And it is quite time intensive and is not something that is ready quite yet. But in creating those characters, similar to Eden, none of them are similar to me almost at all. And that's really fun, coming up with their voices and developing them. I do have a tier, the Yumverse Savant tier, where that tier I'm going to allow to vote on like stuff related to the Yumverse, character names, character characteristics, design, works in progress. It's really a tier for like, if you're the kind of person who kind of wants to leave your mark on the Yumverse in a way, and or just see things as they're happening, because a lot of the time I'm working on stuff that I can't really share with everyone yet, or I don't really want to share with everyone yet, but I decided that I was comfortable sharing more behind the scenes with that tier That tier right now has been, for years, literally just a tip jar. But I decided that I wanted to add more to it so that for if you're the kind of person that really does love to know all of like the nitty gritty of what's going on, this is a good idea for you. Obviously, if it's within your budget. So that's also something to like keep note. Like right now, I would have put Elf on there yet, but I haven't announced that tier switch up yet. So anyways, okay, I think that's gonna do it for our very first episode. I'm very excited. I am going to be opening up the comments for questions for the next podcast and also podcast topics if you want to suggest them. I really would like this to be interactive, and I would really like all of you who are here supporting me to feel like you can have a say in what I'm talking about. So please don't hesitate to comment. I'm really going to take them into account because I want this to be something that like adds value to your days and hopefully puts a smile on your face. So make sure that you have some water, make sure that you've eaten, make sure you're taking care of yourself, okay? Not to be all mommy on you, but I feel like I need to say that because I know that there's a good portion of you out there that don't do that, that don't take care of yourself. And you deserve to take care of yourself, okay? It's really hard, and I get it, and I see you. But have some water, okay? Do that, please. Okay, that's going to be it. That's going to be all for now. If you are somebody who drinks gamer subs, consider using code YUM. I get a little cut of that, but also hopefully I can get a waifu cup someday. If you are somebody that got the plushie, I just got the pictures back of like the first version of the design. It looks so freaking cute. I'm very excited about that. That is in the works still. And I know you guys are always freaking commenting about this. Yes, the Ona hole is coming, no pun intended. But when it comes out, I'm not going to be able to post the link on Patreon because they don't allow you to link to sex toys. So you really should be on my server if you want announcements about it. That's all I'm going to say. And I don't know if it's a limited run or not. I think it is. I'm actually waiting for the sample to get here. They just shipped it out literally a few days ago. So I'm waiting for it to get here so I can do like a quality check, which I don't even really know what that means. Like, I really don't know. I guess I'm just going to make sure there's nothing weird about it. But anyway, everything about it is so cool, including the box. It's like a collector's item. It's such a dream. I just feel so happy and excited to be able to like do all this stuff and actually put out like quality stuff, you know? So anyways, please join the server if you're not on it. Seriously, you're missing out. And please leave your comments below. Let me know what you want to hear next time. And thank you so much if you made it all the way to the end. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you, and I will see you next time. Bye.